Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Back here on the Steve Jones Show, final hour on this Thursday. Back at Trillo here with you. Steve, soon we'll be back there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. On all backed up by a fabulous service department that's there for you with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance, and even the simple stuff as well. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Radios and helmets. I'm telling you, it's
what a concept.
Didn't cost that much. 30 years. This is the 30th season the NFL's done it. At that point, that's normally at one of the stages where I say, "Hey, I think it works." All right. Time now for our high school roundtable. When we bring in our experts. To talk about this week's high school games and a lot of positives to talk about this week. Zach, sounds like Zach's going to start us off.
No, we got Chief first.
Oh, Chief first. He's actually on the phone?
He is today. Yeah, he couldn't make it up to the studio. So we're going to we got Chief first, then we got Greg here in studio, and then we'll hear from Zach after that.
Great. All right. Dave, how are you?
I'm just working here in Allentown, to quote Billy Joel, so... That's why I had to call in today. We're doing a couple of errands.
Well, that's okay. Errands are always good. We tried to convince the suit to go out of town tomorrow. Because Steve Williams was great. Won over Bloomsburg last week, 1-7. What? I know you've been seeing a lot of positives, but what did you see last week that maybe was a little different?
They just executed, and they got a really nice job of the offensive line did a good job of blocking for Brody when he was trying to throw the ball, and the kids that we expect to do well did well, and the defense stepped up at the end. So it was the kids have been resilient all year long, even when they've been down a couple of touchdowns. But they were down 14 points twice and came back and won the football game, and in the end they held on. With an interception in the end zone to preserve the win right at the end of the game. So it was probably one of the most exciting games that in all the years I've been doing this that I watched. And it was, I'm just so happy for those kids. It's just unbelievable. For once, a lot of things went their way and it worked out well for them. So they got a tough games coming up with Mount Carmel and Southern, but one they can put in the book as their second win.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you a little more bounce in practice, too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, you bet. If you watch those kids when they met with Coach Kaiser after the game and when they got done and they had their little chant to get out of there, it was 10 times better than anything that we've seen all year long. So I'm sure that carried over into practice this week.
They've got a team that they're going to face this week in Mount Carmel that lost to Milton earlier but beat Southern Columbia. What's your thought on this game?
Well, Mount Carmel's very, very talented. They've got a good quarterback. They're halfback. They've got a lot of speed there. But they've got this sophomore running back that's been hammering a lot of people, too. And listen, they're always a very, very physical team. They're always well-coached. Their lines are usually not just athletic, but they're fast. And it's going to be quite an accomplishment if the Braves could pull off a victory. But, you know, we got some big play. Mount Carmel always gets you with a big play. And Shikellamy has a couple of kids that can do the exact same thing. I think we almost have to get into a scoring battle with them to beat them, but it's not impossible. We can score very quickly.
So here's the other part. You came from behind twice in the game on Friday night, and that means you fell behind, but it also means that when you needed your defense to make some plays or get some stops, they did. What are you seeing on that side of the ball?
Well, Noah Johnson, the freshman linebacker, picked off a pass at the Bloomsburg's 20-yard line and got down to the 1-yard line. And you're talking about any lineman or linebacker's dream. I was hoping he could get it in to the end zone, but he got it down to the 1 so we could score. But that was the winning score. And the defense, the last two times Bloomsburg had the ball, our defense did exactly what our defensive coordinator wanted them to do. They did their job. Everybody did their job, and they took care of their responsibilities, and it paid off for them. So I think that's something that gets set in their minds now that, you know, if I do what I'm supposed to do, it's going to help out. If all 11 of them do it, then they're going to be successful. But I saw that in the last two defensive possessions that Shikellamy had.
Lewisburg gets Bloomsburg this week. What would you tell Greg about Bloomsburg?
Boy, do they have a good quarterback, Greg. That kid is unbelievable. How Patrick Mahomes can do an underhanded pass and throw it 20 yards or tuck it away and go for a long run? I think Bloomsburg's coach overused him. I think that's one of the reasons Shikellamy came back, but that kid's awesome. He's the best quarterback I've seen all year long, and Lewisburg's defense is going to have their hands full with him.
Back to the errands.
Yes, thank you very much.
Back to the errands. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, Greg, it's you got a quarterback you got to face this week, but you're coming off a 45-0 win over Midwest last week. Was it just one of those nights where everything came together at once?
Yes. But let me clarify that a little. Midwest dressed 19 kids, Steve.
Yeah, that's hard.
They had 13 kids injured standing on the sidelines. It was 38-0 with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. They turned the ball over three times. We turned interception 75 yards for a touchdown and blocked a punt. I saw something in the game I've never seen before, Steve, in a football game. Midwest lined up. We were already ahead 45-0. The first team has been out of the game for a while. This is in the second quarter. They have third down and 7 yards to go. They have a double wing to the right side. Both wing guys went in motion. They ran the play, completed an 8-yard pass for a first down, and Lewisburg declined the penalty to give them a first down.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt bad for the Midwest kids the whole night because it wasn't that they weren't putting forth an effort. Putting forth the effort, they just didn't have the numbers to stay with Lewisburg.
That's hard.
Yeah, it really was.
That's hard. Yeah, and they've got Central Mountain this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, my best to them. Hopefully, I can get the guys back.
Yeah, they have a great facility at Midwest. It's a beautiful new football field and complex, and hopefully they can get that program going.
You still need to execute, though.
Yes.
Regardless of the circumstances. Did you like just the pure execution from the Lewisburg side of it?
Yes, they were crisp. When the offense, first team offense was in there, they were really crisp. They had close to 200 yards of offense in the first quarter. So, yes, what they were doing was great defensively. Kids played their assignments well. They were in position to make plays defensively, and they did. And you can't ask for more than that.
When Lewisburg has faced a passing team,
yeah,
Right? How well have they performed considering the assignment this week?
Really not that bad. Probably the best passing team they faced this year has been, well, two, I should say, Danville and Loyal Sock. And they've limited their passing game. They have never, they haven't met their yards per game average against Lewisburg. So I think they've done pretty well past defense. They're going to be challenged this week. And the reason they'll be challenged is this quarterback can run. You know, last week he had close to 420 yards of total offense.
Right.
So they're going to be challenged this week, and they know that. They really have to run their assignments this week, stay sound defensively, not get out of their rush lanes, make sure they have outside containment on them. This kid played against Lewisburg last year. He wasn't the starter last year, but he played a lot against Lewisburg, and he is just a talented kid.
You want to stay in rush lanes and pinch from the outside, force right. him up the middle. Would it surprise you if Lewisburg spied?
You know, I asked the coach that last night, and to start off, they're not going to do that. They're going to play their base defense and go from there. But they had practice with the spy this week.
Yeah, well, I can understand that.
Yep.
But the other, because if you can move him off his spot, he becomes less effective.
Correct.
Now, offensively, do you have the ball control game to keep him off the field?
I believe we do. Jeremiah Davis, they've gone more to the I formation tailback offense in the last three or four games. He's rushed for 400 yards in the last four games. And last week, he only carried the ball six times. So I think you're going to see a lot of Lewisburg pound, pound, pound the ball and mix in an occasional pass this week.
Okay. Yep. All right. So that's coming up this week, and good luck with that one, Greg.
Thank you.
Greg, I know yesterday I had Paul Keels on, the voice of Ohio State, and he actually uses a chipper putter. You and I, of course, know about the shutter, which I brought up to Paul when he and I were playing together out in Bloomington. And he says, the what?
S-U-I-T.
Exactly.
That spells suit.
I mean, you're somebody that understands and plays the game. I mean, how bad would it be for you to even think about using that club?
I would give up the game of golf.
Right there, that says it all. You're allowed 14 clubs in the bag.
That's right.
Oh, my almighty.
I want one that's useful.
That's right.
Right? If you can't step up with a sand wedge or even like sometimes an 8-iron and chip it on there, come on, man.
That's positively correct.
I mean, come on. I mean, really. I mean, these are two, these are two guys here that have broken 80 in their life. Come on. This is what we're talking about.
That's right. That's positively right. It was almost embarrassing, Steve.
Almost.
Well, we were in our own little foursome, so nobody really saw us, what he was doing.
But I couldn't watch.
Well, I turned my back several times.
I mean, get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, he would do stats with this thing. Okay? Did he do stats with you?
He was on his phone frequently.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Power broker calling points bet. So we were on the 11th hole, the par 3.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know which one I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
The long par 10, the long par 5. And I think it was my tee shot, and I'm a little bit short. But I'm a little bit short. I'm like maybe 4 or 5 feet off the green, like if that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he, of course, takes out the world famous, I put it together in my garage club. And he puts it up, and it's 8 feet past. He goes, that's a good one. I'm 3 for 5 today. I'm looking at him like, we're 8 feet from the hole.
And above the hole yet.
And above the exact. We're 8 feet above the hole. So I took out a sand wedge, and I chipped it to a foot, and we tapped it in. I said, now that's a save. I said, come on.
F-O-U-L-E.
I said, we're 3 for 5. I said, we're 3 for 5? I said, cut me a break.
3 for 5 is not that good on the golf course, Steve.
Well, first of all, it was 8 feet away, so he's 2 for 5.
That's right.
So it's even worse.
That's right. Exactly.
Ready, go!
He thinks this is baseball. Where if you fail 7 out of 10, they give you $1 million.
That's
this
right.
is the golf course. You miss 3 of those, we're going to 3-putt from there.
That's exactly right.
Just thought I'd bring it up. All right. Let's bring in Zach Showers now. Sealers Grove rolls on, gets it done. Another big win. Better and better every week, regardless of the competition. So, Zach, how are you looking at the competition so you can gauge whether you're better and better?
Yeah, it's been a little tough to really evaluate that sometimes. But this past week against Hallidaysburg, that was a 5A school that had some
sure.
players, especially in the passing game. And Sealands Grove, they were challenged a little bit. Hallidaysburg actually marched down the field on the first drive. Sealands Grove held tight inside the 10-yard line, and Hallidaysburg missed a field goal. Second play on offense, Sealands Grove threw an interception, and Hallidaysburg did the exact same thing, marched down right into the red zone. Sealands Grove stopped them and missed a field goal. And then first play on that second drive, Tucker Teets went 80 yards for a touchdown on a basically Hallidaysburg blitzed the house and got past a few guys and no one in the backfield. And then the route pretty much went on from there. So this is a team, again, that just continues to get better. And I know sometimes it's hard when you're expected to win by a lot, but there's a lot of good senior leadership on this team, and they continue to just show up and do their thing and get out of there early with a win.
Montoursville, I think, has lost 3 in a row coming into this game. So what do you think about the matchup with this one? Because, I mean, the bottom line is you have to just keep winning.
Yeah, I think it could be – I think it could – talking about this one similar to how we talked about Hallidaysburg last year or last week. When you look at those three teams that they've lost to the last 3 weeks, those three teams are Jersey Shore, Danville, and Southern Columbia.
Really good.
Yeah, and it was a 21-0 loss to Southern Columbia. It was they got blown out a little bit by Danville. And then last week, Jersey Shore, who was missing some guys, got up pretty big on them early in halftime. And then Montoursville ended up putting up 21 points, I think mostly in the second half, and were able to move the ball a little bit against a pretty physical Jersey Shore team. So Montoursville is always a really well-coached team. You know that they're going to get the most out of their guys. They're generally not the biggest team on our schedule, but they are a team that really likes to play physical. So I think it could be at least initially a pretty good football game and a good challenge for us tomorrow night.
So let me ask you about the defensive part, because we always seem to, at some point or another, because of the number of points Sealands Grove puts up, we talk about the offense. What has the defense been doing to set up short fields, make plays for that offense?
Well, they have been forcing a ton of turnovers, which helps. They're forcing just under 3 turnovers a game. Sealands Grove is plus 19 in turnover margin through 8 games, which is a pretty big differential there. They've done a nice job making adjustments as well. Last week, Hallidaysburg made some plays against them early and took them off to the side. I mean, Coach Hicks, the head coach, kind of runs things, but you know the name Ryan Kaiser, who played at Penn State.
Sure.
He's really kind of taken over a lot of the defensive calls, and anytime you have a guy that, you know, played at the D1 level like that and high competition, he was able to kind of talk to a lot of the defensive backs and work things out, and they've been able to then pretty much shut teams down. The same thing happened against Jersey Shore, who in the past those games have gotten away. And when you have a lot of experience, especially in the back end, makes a difference just being able to talk to those guys. And another thing is just the depth. I think I say it every week, Sealands Grove's defensive line, they might not always be getting the stats, but it's been different guys every week. And when you can go 7-8 deep there, it makes a difference in keeping guys fresh over the course of the game.
Ryan Kaiser, of course, I'd know so well, always was a student of the game, and he used his brain as much as he used his physicality on the field. I mean, he had the game-sealing interception in the end zone against Wisconsin in 2013 because he put himself in the right spot. How's that translating to that defense? Because he is somebody who's always been a thinker out there.
Oh, I think it definitely translates a lot. It's nice to be able to see when guys go off the field, you know that they're being coached up, whether it's through technique or whether looking at things. Obviously, the amount of film that even high school kids have today, that's really nice to be able to pull them off and say, here's what you're doing. And I would say the Salins Grove secondary is a pretty heady group of kids too, and that definitely, when you have a leader that personifies that, makes a huge difference.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate it, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. That's our high school roundtable for the week, as our games are now all set up to go. And see how it plays out. We get together next week and talk about it. All right, we'll take a break. Matt's having a calm day. Once he got the Jim Harbaugh stuff off his chest. Yeah.
That's correct, yes.
Which then allowed me to talk about radios and helmets.
And I'm with you all the way on that.
Yeah, I think it's something that should have been done a long time ago. Now, Bob doesn't agree with it. Bob likes the days when Sid Luckman called his own plays, looked over at George Halas and said, hey, yo, I got this. It's okay. John Unitas to Don Shula. No, it's okay. That the story he told about they sent the kick team out. Yo! Unitas went, yo! And they all ran back. All right. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at SunburyMotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a terrific service department that backs it all up every step of the way. They're looking for even more great technicians to work with their pros at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I'm over at Jersey Mike's today getting a sandwich, and everybody said, hey, did your brother love the game? They all knew the king was in town. King!
Gang!
Hey! Hello.
Yeah, I mean, your name came up. Your name came up with the staff at Jersey Mike's today.
I what?
Your name came up with the staff at Jersey Mike's today here in State College. They all wanted to know how much you love the game. They love the fact that you were in town.
At Jersey Mike's?
Yep.
There you go.
Wow.
There you are.
Well, I love the game. The cookies were good. I mean, I had a great time. So I love being in the booth, and I love being around the action. And then you brought me on the field, and I was like a little child. And it was just, God, the field is gorgeous. Yeah, when you're out there, it doesn't even seem like it's raining, you know? And it was pouring. So but I had a good time.
That's awesome.
Well, he took all these pictures. Tell him what part you forgot to take pictures.
Of the field. I took pictures. I get outside, and I'm like, oh, I can take pictures of the and him, Jack, and Brian doing the show. And I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't. Maybe I can sneak back out there. Why didn't I take pictures of him? I was in awe. I was just so, so cool. I mean, you watch on TV, and you know, but when you actually get to stand in the end zone and look around, it's like, man, it's like a shrine. So
yeah, he was standing right.
You guys do it all the time, but us welders, we don't do nothing.
Yeah, he was over standing by
the dirty shop.
He was standing over by Bo Perbula's. He was warming up, getting ready for the game.
Nicely done.
Yeah,
one of our PA natives. I like it, King.
There you go.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, everyone's so nice and whatever. I mean, it rains, and it's too bad it rained, but I still had a really good time. And Jack's a great guy, and Brian Tripp's a great guy, and it's all good. All good.
Yeah, Brian
Long
made sure
ride.
Brian made sure that Kevin got the shout-out in the pregame show for the loyalty points as he was standing out there. So
there you go.
I was the only one. I was the audience.
He was in.
It was pouring. Me and some other gentleman. He stayed the whole time.
Jim from Bowlesburg.
He had a raincoat on.
Jim from Bowlesburg. That's who it was. And yep.
We were it, and I mean, there were people, more people in the beginning, but it was pouring. You know, you can't, what are you going to do? So,
yeah.
Good show. Anyway, I told Brian that when Penn State comes to UConn to play hockey, I'll check in on them. So, I'm about a mile and a half from their place.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Be fun.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you had a great time. You deserved it, so.
Well, I don't deserve it. I enjoyed it. I appreciate you bringing me up there. And God, the cookies are good. Holy moly.
Two other questions I have.
Them babies. I filled my pockets. I probably had 8 cookies.
Did you have the grapes? Did you have any of the grapes? Or are they off limits, Steve? Are they just
grapes?
For you and Jack?
No, grapes are when I'm home with my wife. When I have my one moment out, I don't drink. So my whole guy's night out is to eat 8 cookies. Like, oh, boy, look at me.
The grapes are for anybody. Joanne Hamm is the one that gets the grapes.
Correct.
And then,
oh, he had a bucket of grapes when you were doing the game. Oh,
yeah, like that's their thing. That became a thing a couple of years ago when they started doing the booth cam, and everybody started asking about the grapes. So that's how this whole thing started.
And the grapes have always been there, but you know, it's a great snack as you go along. Jack kids that Joanne takes the stems out, and that's only because I'm also eating them. <It's> like,
I thought they were your grapes, so no. I didn't realize Jack brought them.
No, you carried the bag in. That's where the grapes were.
Oh, you carried the grape bag in. Wow. See, that is another royalty right
Jack
there.
Jack out because his back was hurt, so I carried Jack's stuff for him all day. So.
Wow, I'm jealous that you carried the bag of grapes.
Have you talked to him? How's he feeling?
Good. I've talked to him a couple times this week. Good. I'll see him tonight.
Yeah, good. He was hurting pretty bad, but, you know, he's a trooper. You know, a royal trooper. What are we driving our Ford truck for? Hang on. I have to get mad. Hang on. See, this is reality for me. Dirt. Oh, wow, they're picking up the parts. All right, cool. All good.
Another
good.
Big day.
Oh, my almighty!
This is my reality.
Yeah.
Anyway. Your brother-in-law was here yesterday getting scrap out of my barrels. So.
Oh, good.
We're back to reality. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Oh. That always does that.
So, how about them Phillies, huh?
Yeah.
They're going to win a World Series?
Just for the heck of it, they're going to go on the road.
Ah, here we go again.
Well, it's a excuse me. Which part of the facts aren't you digesting?
No, you're
here?
Right. You're right. Yes.
Okay.
You're correct.
Everybody's talked about how great the Philadelphia crowd is. Well, guess what? They're winning. They do play well off the crowd, but you do have to win something on the road. So at some point.
Yeah, but they're up 2-0, right?
Yeah. And there's, and you know,
they're going to sweep Arizona.
What I
the
think
Phillies
is.
The Phillies are the most balanced team left. So.
Well, what I think is interesting for them, okay, in all of this, is that, you know, they've got the 1-2 punch at the front. I'm wondering what the percentage of Philly fans will be at the game in Arizona tonight. I think there's going to be a very high percentage of Philly fans at the game tonight.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because if you've seen lately on the internet, the tickets are less than $10. And, like, and these are, like, legitimately good seats, like, bottom row, bottom bowl, top bowl. And so Philly fans are taking advantage of it. Yeah, we're talking $10 or less for a ticket for the game. Both game 3 and game 4.
That doesn't even get you half a cup of...
Was it true what I said that the 400... Oh, maybe I didn't say it. Oh, yeah, I did. $450 for a standing ticket in Philadelphia?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Compared to $8 for any seat, basically, at Chase Field. It's crazy.
Well, that's half a cup of beer at Chase at Citizens Bank Park.
There you go.
Oh, well, you know what?
Bingo!
The tickets were sold out. Like, money, I don't have. I go to Penn State games. I sit in the booth.
Good enough.
Free cookies. I did. My wife said, "Well, didn't you eat any of the food in the buffet?" I said, "Nope. I just ate the cookies, the chocolate chip cookies. They were so good." I was like, "Wow, I'm in heaven."
You know, I agree.
Nibbling on them. I got three on my plate and three in my pocket. That's it. I learned that from your son. That's what me and Danny did. We walked around, we filled our pockets up with cookies, and then back then they had hot dogs, so we were taking the hot dogs too and eating them. Anyway,
they
got to get rid of the trough. They got to upgrade there.
Well, they're going to.
But you told me that 5 years ago. Wow, they're going to upgrade. Well, 5 years ago, the place was flooding. Did you have a water issue?
Let me put it this way. I can assure you, with no uncertain terms, it is being done this time. Okay, they even have a plan as to when they're going to do it, when they're going to, you know. So it's actually progressing the way it should right now. And you've got to do it ASAP.
How about the crowd? Matt, the crowd, the place was packed.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
I mean, maybe up in the one corner was empty, but there had, did they have a total of the crowd?
Well, you can't tell because it's tickets sold, so it was like 106,000 tickets sold or something like that. But I don't
know. I thought there was 100,000 people there.
I definitely believe
it. There had to be 100,000 people there.
No, there was a lot. All right, so we'll take a break. We have picks to make here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hello?
All right, here we go. Time to make some picks. So last week, King.
I did really good.
While you were enjoying your cookies, you went 3-6.
Yep, that was good. That's what I wanted.
But Steve also went 3-6. I went 6-3, so I got command now. I have a 3-game lead on Steve right now. I'm 44-29. Steve is 41-32. And King, you are 25-46.
Yeah, that great pick you
made
in the Eagles
Jets
game.
That's pretty good. I got 25 right. So.
Great pick you made in the Eagles Jets game.
Okay, now it's time to turn it on.
We'll see about that. Yeah, Eagles Jets. Yeah, I know. That did work. All right, so we are going to get to the Eagles in a little bit as they face the Dolphins. But we're going to start with Thursday night football tonight. Jacksonville and New Orleans. Trevor Lawrence looks like will play, but still a game-time decision. King, who you got?
Oh, you mean he's hurt?
Yes.
Gee.
He was hurt in the game last week, but
he's wounded.
Okay, well, I got Jacksonville.
I am still rolling with Dougie P and the Jags anyway. Steve.
Okay.
You act like he's an influence. I'm going with Jacksonville.
All right, this should be an interesting game this week. Detroit at Baltimore. Steve.
Detroit at Baltimore. Okay. I'm going to go with Detroit. I'm really on Detroit.
I am too, and with the Eagles and 49ers both losing, they're definitely right there now, so I'm going with the Lions.
Yeah, Detroit's loss is to who? I mean,
Seattle.
Kansas City's only loss was Detroit.
Right.
Well, that's impressive. I got Detroit. But Baltimore with Lamar Jackson can win, you know, but I got Detroit.
Yeah, I think Detroit's defensive line is going to make a difference and force a couple turnovers on Lamar
right.
Jackson. So next one, Steelers back off the bye in L.A. at SoFi to take on the Rams. King, who you got?
Yeah, I got the Rams. I don't want them to win, but I think they'll win.
Talking to Neil Kulong on Tuesday, I kind of felt the same way. The Steelers just don't have enough to keep up with that offense, so yeah. I'm going with the Rams. Steve.
Steelers are the most mystifying team I've seen in football. They should be 0-5.
Very true.
I'm taking Los Angeles.
And then finally, Sunday night football. The Kelly Green is back at the link. Eagles trying to bounce back from the horrendous loss to the Jets, hosting Tua and the Dolphins. Steve.
Miami.
King.
Miami.
I agree, boys. I'm going with Miami as well. There's too many question marks right now with the Eagles. I think the way for them to win is ball control. Miami has had a tough time stopping the run a little bit, but that's still a good defensive line, and there's too many question marks, especially on defense right now for the Eagles. So I'm going with Miami too, unfortunately.
It's early. The Eagles are still really good. I'm of the opinion some of these, especially a team like the Eagles, you got to lose a few games. It's okay. They'll be in the playoffs, and that's when you want to gear it up. So I like the Eagles, but I don't think they're – I think they're struggling right now.
There you go. Now we're going to college football. A lot of good games this week, in fact. So – first off, though, let's start with Clemson at Miami. King.
Clemson.
I'm also rolling with the Tigers. Steve.
I'll go Clemson.
Next one, Stanford hosting Chip Kelly and UCLA. Steve.
Okay, so last week, Stanford has that miracle comeback and wins, right?
That's the greatest game of my life.
I love it, too. Me, too.
All right.
Stick it right in Dion's face.
And now they've got UCLA. UCLA will not only win, but they will win by at least 17.
Begrudgingly, I agree, and I think, and I will pick Chip Kelly this week. King.
See, this is where I fall off the cliff.
Oh, boy.
I pick who I want to win, not who I just should win. Stanford impressed me, and that was a backup quarterback. So Stanford looked really good. I mean, but I know Colorado sucks, but I got Stanford.
if they do win this
deeper
game,
deeper into the abyss.
They might be my third favorite college football team if they were to win, because that's back-to-back wins against Dion and Chip Kelly. That's a recipe for success right there.
Yeah, well, UCLA is not exactly a juggernaut. So, hey, I have a question. I know we'll run out of time. What happened to the quarterback who was the quarterback at UCLA? That kid was good.
DTR.
Last couple of years.
Yeah, second string quarterback with Cleveland. He didn't play this week because he got banged up. That's why Walker had to play. He's with the Browns.
Okay, so. He made it in the NFL.
He's actually the second string quarterback in the depth chart for the Browns.
Man, he is good.
Yep. No, DTR was always good.
Get him.
Yeah.
All right. Staying in the Pac-12, Utah, number 14 at 18 USC, fresh off the butt whooping they took from my fine and Irish, which I will always love and cherish all the time. King, who you got?
Utah. USC defense. Thanks.
I'm going with Utah. Fifth, number five scoring defense. That plays a big role. I think some things were exposed last week by ND. I'm going with Utah. Steve.
USC. I think that Utah, it's been Cam Rising with guts over and over again. Cam's still not playing. Utah is winning with defense, but USC still has explosion on offense with Caleb Williams.
Now we go to the ACC. Number 16, Duke, at number 4, Florida State. Steve.
Florida State.
Yeah, I will unfortunately pick Florida State here, and they'll keep their mouths going down there in Tallahassee. King.
Yeah, no slight on Duke because they're good, but Florida State's really good. I got Florida State.
And then finally, should be a good one, the SEC. Number 17, Tennessee. At number 11, Alabama, who has not been looking pretty good. Barely hung on against Arkansas last week. King, who you got?
Alabama.
Steve?
Alabama.
I'm rolling with the Vols. Something's not right with Alabama. I know Tennessee's not as good as they were last year. I know the game's in Tuscaloosa, but I'm rolling with the Vols for the upset.
Alabama's defense is playing really well. That's the difference.
All right,
I like teams that win close games like that. They're not the powerhouse they were before, but they're winning. Good coach. He's a very good coach. Nick Saban.
All right,
yes,
King.
Yes, he is.
Let's pick it. Penn State, Ohio State. I know this won't count, of course, but who you got, King? Do they get it done finally against the Buckeyes?
Well, in my heart, because I want Penn State to win, I should pick Ohio State because it just works out that way. But I cannot not pick Penn State. Penn State.
I think Penn State gets it done. This is the year for them to do it. They have to get it done Saturday, and I think they will get it done. That's the best defense Ohio State's going to face, best secondary they're going to face. I agree with Donnie yesterday. They're going to win in the trenches. Penn State, 24-20 in a close game. Steve, your final keys are?
Get McCord off his spot. He's a 28% passer when he's pressured.
He'll be pressured.
There you go.
I gave it to you. Quick synopsis.
It's a pick'em game. There's no question about it. But they gotta get over this hump. They gotta take Ohio State out. I can deal with them losing to Michigan in a close game, but not Ohio State. They gotta take them out now. So.